News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings, and it is 7 minutes after 8 o'clock. The number one story in our three big things, and we're really going to dive into it here because Dalton has actually read the entire Kenyon Brown report. Mm. So you got me there. You probably have most people there. There are write-ups. I didn't see one yet in 1819 News. I did see one, John Sharp, with AL.com. And, summaries of the report.
Right.
How would you summarize the report before I get into the story?
Oh, well, I've got plenty of notes on this. My main thought and what I'm most concerned with, and I think what most of us are most concerned with, is the city of Mobile and our area. And what happens to us here?
The perception could soon be in the city, or it could be a national.
It will be
perception.
It will be a national perception of the city of Mobile from this report, which was written up by a attorney who was appointed by Obama during his work with the feds. And this is going to be the headlines that you'll see come out these next few days and few weeks. Maybe more lawsuits filed from civil rights lawyers.
Well,
could see that coming. It's the police department was, while there are things in this report that are questionable, some ways that the MPD has gone about things in these six specific cases that they decided to analyze here. I'm not saying that it's all roses and rainbows, but the Mobile Police Department was absolutely thrown under the bus in this report, and it's not going to help with retaining officers or even hiring good officers.
It's going to devastate morale, don't you think?
It has to. I think Prine was the one, the Chief Prine was the one that was meant to be thrown under the bus when this report, once the administration got a look at it, I think they decided they had to throw someone under the bus, and it was him, and he obviously didn't play along. And then more allegations arose from that. But this isn't good for Mobile. It's not good at all. And I have many gripes with the report, and we can get into those. And we can also get into some of the direct statements in that report. And I'll also tell you, some of the things that I thought he pointed out that, yeah, maybe the MPD could clean up. But that's not what the story will be on the national stage.
Well, also, these are police officers. Generally, in all these cases, they're investigating people are committing crimes.
Right.
So you have to throw that in there. It's not just like picking people off the street and messing with them and then shooting them. That's not what's been going on here. Mayor Sandy Stimson commissioned this report in the wake of a string of incidents involving some citizens. Here's a headline for you from AL.com. Report on Mobile Police. Illegal behavior, aggressive, demeaning attitude toward black residents. Here is, and then afterwards last night, which I didn't even know he was going to have a press conference, but Kenyon Brown decided to have one.
Yeah, alongside the release of the report.
Okay. And, he was asked, even though in the report it didn't say that a change should be made at the top.
No, everything I read, it didn't say that, Police Chief Prine needs to no longer be with the department.
With each case that they analyzed, they concluded with a recommendation.
Right. That's exactly right.
All right. So,
and then at the end of the report, they gave further recommendations for what the city and what the police department should do. We'll get into that as well.
All right. So Kenyon Brown has asked if there should be a change made. This is at his press conference answering a question last night.
So I think if you're asking if there's an outside view of whether or not a change should be made of the chief of police, if I'm looking at it from this perspective of DOJ, absolutely, a change should be made.
Okay, that sounds very definitive. And
much more definitive than what the quote-unquote independent investigative team determined in the article and
right.
the report itself.
Right, and so then, you know, we're all trying to figure out who's who can I believe? I got to say, if I wasn't following the story very closely, what Brown just said right there seemed like he had his ducks in a row, and he did the investigation and all that. But then you get Paul Prine, who, for the most part, the charges against him seem to be, a lot of them are language related, or
salty language
on the whole police department. Their use of language
as a major focus.
Yes. So this is Prine quickly responding to Brown.
Mr. Brown showed tonight that he is not unbiased, and showed tonight that if someone pays you a lot of money for a so-called report, the client is going to get the report they want. And this is so disingenuous to the community.
There you go. So there's Prine, and he hasn't really budged at all. And the counsel was almost, and he was there, he was seated up top. The counsel was pretty much not urging him, but almost pleading with him, like, hey, man, please
take this off our hands.
Take this off our hands.
That's one thing I did not catch yesterday was the 3 p.m. city council meeting. You said the counselors, all of them, or at least the ones that spoke, made it a point to show that they do back the Mobile Police Department. Not necessarily everything about them, but they showed their support.
No, they did. And so these are counselors who read the report. And the report,
that's
why the meeting was at 3 p.m. rather than 9:30
earlier
10
in the
o'clock.
Day.
Yeah, so that was to give them time to read the report. But that I noticed there was just really unsettled body language for the entire group. The audio wasn't working at the beginning of it, which was a little frustrating, but they got that worked out. And then you could hear what everyone was saying, and the first citizen that spoke had nothing to do with this, so that was kind of got a break there. But just the body language, and then and if they've read this report and still felt compelled, including
William Carroll,
C.J. Small, and I think Corey Penn as well, but they felt compelled to say, hey, man, we've got a great police department here. Hey, man, we got almost as a, almost apologetically. Mm. We read the report. We know it's coming down.
It's going to be uncomfortable for some time. I can go ahead and tell you that. And some of the notes I wrote down after reading this last night, it's 99 pages. You've got, of course, at the very beginning, they tell you what's on what page, and there's a lot of redactions, probably about 20% of it redacted, if I had to guess.
By the way, you've got more notes than my 4 years of high school.
And then they go into legal definitions. They look back at past Supreme Court cases. They look at a lot of other police departments and their use of force guidelines and things of that nature. But overall, this thing reads as if it were written by an Obama acolyte. I mean, you hire an Obama attorney who is, I'm sure, very political by nature, and it reads exactly as if that's who you hired to write this report.
Almost like when you're reading a story in the New York Times as opposed to another outlet that might try to deal with the story.
Well, there's an objective, and even if the objective isn't explained clearly, you can tell that they have an objective going through this report. And let me say this, equity, institutional racism, systemic inequalities, discrimination, that's all listed in the first page of the report as worries and things that need to be fixed. And again, at the very end of the report, and recommendations by the independent investigative team, when they recommended that MPD, quote, create and maintain an equity office to operationalize and institutionalize DEI strategies. While it doesn't take up a whole lot of word space, that was a main theme. Plug it at the beginning and at the end. And by the way, this entire thing, and maybe they did have to rush it out after all the media attention these last couple of weeks, littered with typos, this report, including the name of one of the deceased suspects, get the last name wrong, the mayor, right, Mayor Simpson, in part of it. They call it Operation Echo. It's Operation Echo Stop. Numbers that weren't where numbers should be. So it's not entirely dialed in and buttoned up, although that's probably, a sidebar for me, who hates typos. They spend a bulk of this report analyzing 6 officer-involved incidents, and they're the ones we talked about so often last year. It included 4 deaths, three of those from officer-involved shootings, and then two other uses of force that went viral online, and like we're probably going to see here, it led to national allegations of racism. We saw it in some of the Times articles, New York Post. Those six incidents that they analyzed in this report, all black suspects, 16-year-old Randall Ajessum, of course, who that was kind of, I guess you could call it the last straw before all of the discussion about pre-dawn raids and no-knock warrants, although they do knock and did in the cases involved here. And then that led to Mayor Stimson getting Kenyon Brown to write this report. So you have the Ajessum pre-dawn raid where he had the red dot sight that he trained on at least a couple of the officers that were coming in there. And remember, they were there to arrest his 18-year-old brother, who was not at the home, but he was arrested 3 months later on shooting charges and drug trafficking charges. So that's one of the things they focus on here. It's the first one up. Then the one that I'm most kind of like, yeah, maybe I could see your point there. The video that went viral online with the 16-year-old female, the juvenile, who was basically body slammed at Excel Academy when an officer was on the scene. Now, I can't recall, and I don't think they mentioned it explicitly in the report, whether that officer was on the clock as an MPD officer or whether he was working a second job as school security.
Right, right.
Or less, they said when she tried to escape from the situation, they should have allowed her
he was a big guy and suddenly so his force really, you know, that had a lot to do with it. He might not have intended to do what he did, but he was a big guy and he was able to fling her around.
Another case here, the Juwan Dallas case, they look into Beezer Dubose. He was handcuffed, and then that was the one where the officer said he was grabbing him by the handcuffed suspect was grabbing him by the private parts.
Yeah.
And they scuffled and the officer punched him several times. That went viral online. Christopher Jones, who was sleeping on the roof, apparently had mental issues, but then pulled a shotgun on officers. He ended up dying in that shooting. 25-year-old Cordell Jones, who during a raid, which was not pre-dawn, it was right when the sun rose, he had family in the home, but he was naked, jumped out of the back window with an AR-style pistol, as they described in the report, and an officer in the back ended up shooting him. And now, interestingly, the investigative team here said that use of force was defendable in all six situations.
Saw that.
Except the juvenile female at Excel Academy. I didn't get the same vibe from the report on that one. The report,
anything going on with white people being arrested?
No, and that's something that I think would have made this a more fair report, because the six cases they analyzed here all had to do with black suspects.
We've got a lot of black police officers in town, by the way.
We do. And in all of those six cases, you had suspects who were fleeing from law enforcement, disobeying commands, or otherwise just breaking the law, right? And so I think it would have been fair if this were supposed to be a fair report, if they had included analyzing a situation where Mobile police were dealing with an unruly white subject, because I know it happens.
Sure.
It happens. Maybe one that's fighting back or something, to show how they react in those situations. I would imagine it's much the same as they do in these other situations that involve black suspects. I mean, when you have someone who's being unruly and disobeying commands or even fighting back, I think they're going to act much the same way in those situations. But what's really weird about this was how much focus the report spent on not just Prine, but officers' use of profanity. It took major issue with that in many of these cases. And I will give a nod. They pointed to the lack of de-escalation techniques with a lot of these officers.
Mm-hmm.
And while they concluded that in all of them, pretty much the use of force was defendable, they said that this could have been de-escalated, or they'll say this didn't have to happen. And in the two raids that they analyzed, they said this didn't have to happen this way, which I don't know if that's entirely the case or not. But it also went after Prine for his reported comment that we've talked about. I'm not concerned with what the media thinks, blank the public. They also spent a whole page decrying what they called Prine's, quote, autocratic demeanor and, quote, autocratic tendencies. But it doesn't recommend his dismissal. And if you were expecting a whole lot more dirt on Prine other than the direction of the police department and how they handle situations, that was pretty much it. That where he said that to his officers, blank the public.
Yeah.
So, but the main thing here, get the Kenyon Brown to come down and write this report, and I think the city as a whole loses in this situation. There's going to be a lot of national media attention on us here going forward, for sure.
Yeah, we thought the national attention was going to be with the District 2 race in the fall, but it looks like it could come sooner. And then his press conference last night, I didn't see that on the agenda. I didn't know that was about to happen. We'll get into a few of the things he said. Kenyon Brown around the corner. It's 8:22. Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. What's going on?
Well, I'm going to get some text here in a minute, 251-343-0106. Just want a couple more comments on this in the report published by former U.S. Attorney Kenyon Brown. At the end of the report, they published some comments from the local NAACP chapter, also a local pastor. I would have liked to have seen some commentary from victims of crimes or families of victims who MPD has either helped or you know, gone on to get perpetrators off the street who are involved in crimes of victims.
Not the point.
It wasn't the point of the report, clearly. And like I said, I would have liked to have seen a case where they analyzed where a white subject was being unruly to show the whole picture, because this is going to come out and it's going to paint Mobile Police Department and the South, like the national media likes to do, as just a bunch of racists with badges.
Here's Kenyon Brown at his press conference last night.
And I want to point this out as well. Officers go through training. And you might say that individual people in the street direct bad language toward them. And they can't help it. They're supposed to, they have to respond. But why do you pay them to go through training if they can't control their temper, their impulses? They need to be trained to reflexively react based upon the training, not based upon instinct, because that's why you pay them to be police officers and go to training. And so if the training isn't being implemented, if there aren't clear measures for this is the policy, it's to be adhered to at all times, there will be punishment for non-adherence, what you have is confusion and chaos. And people walking around with the ability to use the power of deadly force, that's dangerous.
So they're armed and they're using bad language.
Right.
That's dangerous.
Yeah. And I do agree. In some of these cases, it seems like maybe some of the officers were hot-headed. But again, this is just a snapshot. It's not the day-to-day life and the day-to-day shifts that these officers are working, who very often know the people that they are going to arrest and have past history with.
And this is during a time when we had unprecedented crime in the city of Mobile.
Right.
They were busy, they were active, they were dealing with people they were all, had a history with very often.
And Prine was more or less, when he came into that position, that was his task, right?
Yeah.
To
clean it up.
Bring it back down, clean it up. A ton of texts, many of you disagreeing with a lot of what I had to say, which is great, and we'll get into that coming up on the other side, Mobile Mornings. If you want to text us, 251-343-0106. A34 FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. Coming up in just a minute, it is time to get to your texts. A lot to get to at 251-343-0106. Also a reminder, your chance to win tickets to see Judas Priest May 12th at the Mobile Civic Center Arena. That's coming up in the show as well. Right now, it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
We are fine here at FM Talk 106.5. How are you? How are things looking out at McConnell Automotive?
We're stacked with inventory. I think y'all can check it. The stuff out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. We've got the best inventory we've had in a while. Vans, GM certifieds. We've got plenty. We've got a car, I promise you. If you want one, we got one. We've got some great deals on some new cars over in the new car thing. Got one more 23 Sierra left. It's got $10,000 off, and it's four-wheel drive. It's got the 6.2 motor in it. And it's just like about what everybody wants. But like I said, we've got some great selection on some pre-owned. So just give us a call, 251-476-4141, or check out the internet, McConnellAutomotive.com.
All right. Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. And, yeah, we're getting to that time of year where you need a truck to tow a boat or a trailer or maybe a nice SUV for mom to get the kids back and forth from the pool. They've got it at McConnell Automotive. You'll find them on Dauphin Street just east of I-65 and the website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Checking the text line, 251-343-0106. Jeff from Spanish Fort says, do you think the start and political bias might have something to do with the District 2 race? I don't know if it necessarily has got, you know, it's probably, it could play a role.
But regarding the report?
Yeah.
Oh, no. I don't think.
It could play a role, though, as going forward.
Yes, you're right. It could play a role going forward. Roy in Spanish Fort, I think Stimson made a mistake and should have accepted the $600,000 payout that Prine proposed. I'm not sure what difference that would have made. All this discussion about whether Prine accepts the non-disparagement agreement, who gets what money. This report, the overall consequences, I think, first off, once the city saw what was in the report, they knew that someone had to go down for it, and that someone was Prine. But I don't know that the overall picture would have changed much had Prine accepted some sort of deal or if the city had accepted some sort of deal. The overall emphasis that the Mobile Police Department is a place with, institutionalized racism, that would still be what it is. And the city is going to be the one that loses because that's going to be the picture that's painted nationally. Let's see. I had another text. Well, a bunch of texts to get to here. Tuskers says, agree, not good for Mobile. I stand with Prine. And Mayor must be investigated too. I don't think, and for those of you who are saying that Kenyon Brown, the attorney that published the report, and he wasn't the only one, by the way. It was Kenyon Brown with Thompson Coburn LLC, also Tyrone Powers of Powers Consulting Group LLC, and they explained Powers, a former, I think, state trooper in a state in the Northeast. So he has some, and also an investigator with, I believe they said, the FBI. So he has some police background. And then Elise Gonzalez with Thompson Coburn LLC. Those are the three names on the byline of this report. I'm not sure what sort of role Elise Gonzalez played in this, but Kenyon Brown, the main name here. For those who were saying Kenyon Brown was just doing what Mayor Stimson's bidding, I don't see how the mayor would have wanted this report. Like, it's not just a poor reflection on the MPD if you look at the result.
Yeah,
but it doesn't reflect well on the mayor or the city. So I disagree that this is what the mayor wanted.
Some of this sounds like cries from 4 years ago. And especially within the first page, there's mention of diversity, equity,
inclusion.
Yeah. There are DEI departments that are being dismantled. The pushback on all that has been more rapid than a lot of the woke stuff where there's colleges saying no.
And that's the tell.
We got swept up in this, and now we can see it's not working very well. Therefore, it's got to go.
And that's the tell to me, the overall direction that this report was intended to go.
It sounds like yesterday's news. In fact, because a lot of this stuff is being debunked or at least disagreed with to the point where DEI organizations or part of an organization, DEI departments, are being dismantled in many, businesses, universities. They're like, this is no way to go.
Right. And but that was kind of a main focus here.
Yeah, that's what I say. It seems it's like almost out of step with where the current conversation is.
Irish Indian says, and by the way, is the Mobile Police Department, is it not diverse enough? They want a DEI office. Are they saying that it's not a diverse enough department? Or, I don't know. Irish Indian says, 2018, 2019, Mobile lost two great young men. Maybe Brown should have done a report on them. And why they lost their lives. He's talking about a couple officers.
Oh,
there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
My grandfather was on Mobile's police force for 25 years and never fired his weapon. Times have changed since my grandfather was on the force. A couple bridge texts here. We'll hopefully try to get to some of those in a little bit. Jason says, Brown was brought in to give an opinion based solely on race and stir the pot, which he did. It's too bad Mr. Brown doesn't have the attitude of John Young and expect more from his community rather than finger-pointing and categorizing everything under racism. And
don't you think that John Young knows a lot more about the Mobile Police Department than
Kenyon Brown?
Outside investigators?
I would say so, yeah.
Of course. And John Young, somebody we trust, what has he said about the Mobile Police Department? Nothing like this.
No.
It just seems to be opinion. There's a lot of opinion here. There's a lot of whining about the salty language.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
And, you know, and parts that I agree with, I could see where officers certainly could have maybe de-escalated situations in some of these cases. But you're saying that flippantly, like it's not one of the most intense jobs that someone could have. And like they're not dealing with potentially violent situations every second of their life.
There's a lot of these situations, people are armed. The guy that was on the roof, maybe they didn't handle it right, but he was holding a shotgun.
By the time he got down off the roof, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. Buddy says, answer me this. If Chief Prine did such a bad job, why is the mayor offering him a third different compensation package with advisor role? And that's, you know, the city council's asking for that to be resolved so that they don't have to resolve it. Now, I hope, however that ends up going, you know, they say they're going to investigate some of the allegations made by Prine. So we'll see how that goes. Hal says, for years now, many of us have tried to get someone to listen to us about the dysfunctional city government and its role in the needless degradation of our neighborhoods. Nobody cared about DIP. Now the dysfunction has come to the surface, and it's a story. But how will easing up on crime, or, you know, in what some of these recommendations from the team basically ended up being, were you could have just, you know, let it go. How is that going to clean up crime? Right? I mean, what citizens want of any city is a safe place where they don't have to worry about their family members or friends getting shot up on a drive to work or sitting at home playing video games. And maybe not in these exact cases that they analyzed, but in a lot of these searches that MPD does in homes or when they're able to find a suspect, these are the same people, when you hear reports, that are shooting into homes, hitting 9-year-olds, hitting 14-year-olds. It's not black and white. it's just not.
It's criminal and citizen.
And so, And for the texter that said Kenyon Brown was brought in to stir the race pot, I refuse to believe that was the intention that the mayor and the mayor's office had by bringing Kenyon Brown in. I think with all of the—and remember the pressure that they were under last year when these six different instances happened. Yeah. And they were feeling a lot of pressure from the city council. That was part of it. A lot of citizens, too, to look into this. And Stimson says, okay, the pre-dawn raids are out. No-knock warrants are out, which in these cases, they did knock. And there's a text about that here in a little bit. I'll read part of the report. But then he said, I'm going to bring in this objective third party, Kenyon Brown. And I think Kenyon Brown came in, had the ball on the tee, and said, okay, all right, I'll write this report. And I'll write it the way that I want to write it. And not to say that there aren't parts of the report that certainly need to be looked into, but this is now going to be a national story with people looking down on Mobile when these are things that could have been, I think, handled in a different way.
Let me tell you this, too. I want to make this point, Dalton, real quick. Watching council yesterday, there was a degree of unease, to put it the very least. The
tension.
Most, yes. The most vocal council people were the blacks.
The black council members.
Yes.
Yeah.
Also, Prine got a lot of praise from citizens who were black, but I just want to make this point. The Joel Daves had something to say at the very end, and it had little to do with this situation. Otherwise, white members of council were almost mum. All the conversation, and it was really interesting, again, after reading this report, I would presume, if that's what they did, because that's why everything was pushed back, the black members of the council went out of their way to tell the police, we love you guys. You guys do a great job. You know that. It was almost like that was going to be the buffer in between the
report being released. Yeah. And that's good to hear that they were getting support from the city council. Absolutely. In some form or fashion. Your friendly neighborhood banker said, I saw the video of the Jones killing. And there were two, by the way. One was Christopher Jones. He was the suspect who was sleeping on the roof. Neighbors called and said, hey, he's on the roof again. They've dealt with this before. The officers had. And this was one of those situations where officers may have came in a little hot. Yeah. But again, that's this snapshot of this particular instance. And by the time he did get off the roof, he had a shotgun. And it was pointed at officers, or at least an officer. The other one was Cordell Jones, which I believe is the one you're referring to. And so he says, I saw the video of the Jones killing. The guy was shot in the back. The officers did not knock Dalton. They blew the door off the hinges. Well, in this report, the Cordell Jones report here from this investigative third party, at 6:12 a.m., which I looked up. The great thing about the internet, you can look up exactly when the sun rose on days. Mm-hmm. That's exactly where they had listed the sunrise for March 7th, 2023, officers assigned to breach the front and side doors of the Charles Street address loudly knocked on those respective doors and yelled, police, search warrant. The side door was then immediately breached with a ram, opening the door with one blow. And then they go on to explain the family members who were in the home, who were, I think, a six-year-old girl in that case was one of them there, and the mom and maybe a couple other females. So you've got 25-year-old Cordell Jones, they said here, split second after officers, about 22 seconds after officers first knocked and announced their presence. And they were there, by the way, searching for suspects who had allegedly used a gun to rob another man of an AR-style rifle and a handgun at another residence. So that's why they had this search warrant. Officer number one, about 22 seconds after breaching, heard the back window closest to him open forcefully. A split second later, 25-year-old Cordell Jones, who had armed himself and bolted past his mother and his 30-year-old brother in the hall, lunged out of the window of his mother's bedroom. Mr. Jones was completely naked and holding an AR-style pistol by the buffer tube in his left hand. The firearm appeared to emerge from the window first, followed by Jones' left arm, left leg, torso, right arm, and then right leg. Officer number one shouted as Mr. Jones continued out the window. They said from a review of officer number one's body camera and the speed at which events occurred, there's no indication Mr. Jones was aware of any officer's presence on the backside of the home. He discharged his handgun approximately 3 to 4 times, targeting Mr. Jones, who was struck at least 3 times in the left backside of his torso. And the officer, they went on to say he was worried for his life. He saw the AR pistol come out of the window. There was also a canine officer near him that he discussed as well. When searching that home, the AR-style rifle and handgun from the robbery investigation were not found. However, they found and seized a fully loaded 9mm pistol, over 100 rounds of ammunition of various calibers, 4 Wi-Fi digital surveillance cameras, and several plastic baggies of what was believed to be marijuana. So that's part of that story. They did say they knocked. Now, it is pretty much immediate when they do that. Knock and then enter. This is gonna be tough. We've seen some tough times in Mobile when the national media is centered on the city, and I don't think this is what the mayor wanted to see in this report. I don't think it's what anyone around here wanted to see.
I don't want to see it.
But get ready. You know?
Hey, we got those tickets to give away, so we got to transition to that right now. And who do we want to win?
That's a great question.
Let's do this report where we already know who wins.
Judas Priest, Mobile Civic Center Arena, May 12th, Invincible Shield Tour with special guest
Sabaton.
And your chance to win Sabaton tickets right now, caller number 4 at 251-343-0106. Caller number 4, the May 12th show to see Judas Priest, Mobile Civic Center Arena. Tickets are available at the Mobile Civic Center Arena box office. Joining us next, from Montgomery, Jeff Poor.
Okay.
As we get ready for the Jeff Poor Show.
Lead singer of Sabaton sounds like Michael Bolton on various drugs. It's
heavy metal Michael Bolton.
Yeah, that's him. 850 Dan and Dalton in Mobile Mornings. Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, and we've got a winner.
Yeah, we do. Congratulations, Vicky. Picking up a pair of tickets to see Judas Priest with special guest
Sabaton.
May 12th, Mobile Civic Center Arena, and we're going to keep giving these tickets away through next week. So listen, your chance to win them. If you want to purchase tickets, they're available at the Mobile Civic Center Arena box office.
I know your show's normally Montgomery-centric, Jeff, when you're up there, but quick opinion on what went down yesterday here in Mobile.
I mean, I don't think it's a good look for really, it's just a bad look altogether for the city, but this is like, the seedy internal office politics going on at City Hall, even no matter what side you're on here on this, you got to be kind of frustrated with it, especially the way public safety conditions are on the ground.
Yeah, Texter said, basically as a city, cutting off our nose to spite our face. That's kind of what it seems like. Definitely some negative attention will be coming down. I'm already looking to see if the New York Times or anyone's got anything up on this. I'm sure it'll only be a matter of time. But you're in Montgomery, where there's also been a lot of drama over the last couple of months. And what are you focused on while you're up there? I know they've got the gambling bill in the committee. At the same time, one of the committees, a separate committee, not the one they banded together from the Senate and the House, but legalizing historical horse racing machines in Greene County. So that's still going on,
yeah.
Even though it hasn't passed the legislature yet. What are you looking at?
Obviously gambling, I think, is a big one. And we'll have Garland Gudger on sometime in the top of the 9 o'clock hour. He's on that conference committee. I'll see if we can get any more intel out of him on it. But right now there's this weird sort of stalemate between the House and the Senate that the House isn't passing Senate bills. So the Senate said, well, we're not going to pass any, or vice versa. The Senate isn't passing House bills. So the House said, we're not going to pass any Senate bills. And they're at this stalemate. Now there's no floor action today. Today's committee day, but, maybe they try to patch that up and get some kind of working relationship before Thursday.
They sure are, spooked by the unions. It seems like all hands on deck trying to stamp that out, huh?
I don't think it's going to work, though. You got to give it to the UAW. Well, no matter what you think of them as organizing in Alabama, they came in with a blitzkrieg, and I think they're going to be successful. But no matter what the legislature does, well, I guess the only thing they could have done different would be have waited until right after legislative session, so these guys would not have met to add these what they called workforce development bills, or really tried to not scare unions off, but make it where, well, you don't really need the union. We'll have all this taken care of for you.
Exactly. So, wow, interesting. You don't think it's going to work. All right. So you are on the way, and we'll be listening in as we get the very latest from Goat Hill. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks for having me on.
You got it.
All right. Mobile Mornings for a Wednesday. Thanks, everyone, for your participation this morning, and let's keep it rolling. Tomorrow, we come back. Mobile Mornings beginning at 6 a.m. Jeff Poor Show on the way next, and Midday Mobile to follow.